Hallelujah, hallelujah. How many is an overcomer? Would you shout amen? Praise God. You may go to your seats. Do want to say thank you, as I expressed a few moments ago, for this opportunity to preach. And my, we have heard from God this week, and appreciate our evangelist and his wife and the wonderful job they have done being the vessels of God in this truth camp. And it's such an honor to be here this morning. And I do want to express thanks to all of you staff here at Truth Camp, counselors, all of our staff doing a wonderful job in the trenches every day, working and laboring, all of us together for one cause, and that is to save a soul. Would somebody shout amen? I said to save a soul and to raise up an army of young people that we can send back to the battlefield. Would you shout amen? To pull down those strongholds that Kyron sang about. And I want you to get your Bibles. Open them with me this morning to the book of 1 Kings. We're going to travel this morning the book of 1 Kings in chapter 19. Book of 1 Kings, chapter 19. Began reading in verse number 1 through 3. And then we'll pray. And after you're seated, we'll continue to read. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Oh, Ahab was a tattletale, wasn't he? I said Ahab was a tattletale. He always told Jezebel, always telling on somebody. Told on Naboth, now he's telling on Elijah. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah saying, so let the gods do to me and more also if I make not my life, thy life rather, as the life of one of them tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. Abba, Father, we need you this morning. Thank you, Lord, for this great host of young people. I ask for the anointing of the sweet Holy Ghost. Inspire my thoughts and quicken my speech. Hallelujah. Reach way down the well of my human spirit. Draw up from their years of study and insight and revelation deposited there by you, Holy Ghost. Bring it and refresh it to my mind, making it pertinent to this subject, that these young people by faith might receive your word, and they, Lord God, would be launched forward against the gates of hell. Christ would be glorified, and Lucifer and all the powers of darkness terrified because of it. In Jesus' precious name, let the church of the living God shout hallelujah. Oh, you may go to your seat. Let's continue to read. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, it is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him, and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. He said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake, and after the earthquake a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire, and after the fire a still small voice. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle, went out and stood in the entering in of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what doest thou here, Elijah? He said, I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I only am left. And they seek my life to take it away. The Lord said to him, go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, and Jehu the son of Nimshi shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel, and Elisha the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. And it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu, and him that escapeth from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. Come on, somebody. The writer James, the half-brother of our Lord Jesus on his human side, of course, writes in James chapter 5 and verse 17, he's writing about fervent prayer of the righteous. It availeth much. And he is exhorting us, encouraging us to pray with the fervency of the Holy Spirit. And he mentions Elijah as a example. But he said something very pertinent. He said Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. Come on. He was a man. He was a human being, 100%. Come on, somebody. Subject to like passions as we are. But it said in that same verse of verse 17, chapter 5 of James, yet he prayed, come on, it did not rain, but he prayed again after 3.5 years, and it began to rain. Somebody shout hallelujah. Come on, subject to like passions as we are, yet used by the hand of an almighty God. Woo, I'm telling you tonight. Or today, rather, subject to like passions as you and I are, yet used by the mighty hand of God. Doesn't that just throw your mind for a whirl? Come on, somebody. That the God of heaven and earth would take us, this fallen creation, come on, born again by the blood of his son Jesus, yet still subject to like passions. Oh, God, the things that this old human nature, come on somebody, that when that new birth comes to take us and comes to make us, the Holy Spirit mold us into the image of Christ, and it's a process. But what I'm saying is we're still subject to those like passions. Those things will still try to come against us. Come on. But Paul said, I crucify my flesh daily. Somebody shout hallelujah. And the old
old preachers used to say, we want to blame everything on the devil. Come on, somebody. But the greatest enemy you and I have is walking between our two shoulders. It's called that old nature. It's called the flesh. Come on, somebody. It's called you. Amen. Oh, glory to God. We still have that old nature. But if we're born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, born again, the Lord has given us the power through Him, through His mighty sacrifice on Mount Calvary, sealed by His resurrection, imparted by the Holy Ghost. Come on, somebody. He's given us power to mortify the deeds of the body, to rise up above the passions. Come on, shout hallelujah. It doesn't say that we don't still struggle with them. We all struggle with them. And so James is trying to make a point. We're all like Elijah. But God of heaven and earth, like He used Elijah, wants to use us. Somebody put your hand on yourself and say, God wants to use me. Ooh, put your hand on your neighbor's shoulder and say, hey, God wants to use you. Elijah, in prayer, yesterday, this morning, last evening, I felt the Lord begin to speak a thought to me. And what the Lord said to me to tell you, and it was as it was with Elijah. I don't have time to go in all the story and preach it, of course, but Elijah told Ahab, he said, meet me on top of Mount Carmel. We're going to find out who God is, who the real God is. Come on. Elijah said, all right, met him up on that mountain. You know the story. The prophets of Baal and Ashtaroth prayed to their gods. They shouted. They had a shindig. The do-si-do and the cotton-eyed Joe. Oh, y'all better come on here. Did the juke and the jive. And I know this is beyond y'all, and it's a good thing it is. And it's before I got saved, what I'm about to say. They did the disco with John Travolta. Come on. Woo, I'm telling you, they had it all going on Mount Carmel. They even got so desperate, they jumped up and down upon their altars and, oh, Baal, hear us, Baal, Baal, hear us, Ashtaroth, come on, show up, hear us. And they got so so dismayed, they started cutting themselves with sharp rocks, blood, shedding their blood, cutting themselves. And, oh, God, hear us, Baal, hear us. And you never heard, come on, somebody. Elijah steps up, that man of God, like passengers we are, and he called for God to hear him. He had called Israel in close to the mount. He wanted them to see. He wanted them to know. And the fire came out of the realms of glory past Jupiter and Saturn and Mars. I'm telling you right now, and hit the earth. Woo! Glory. The closest thing I can think of to describe that, and it's on my little brother's calls that I tell the story. I have a brother just younger than I, and we used to have to burn the trash. That was one of our chores. We'd take the trash out and burn it. We were probably 9, 10, that age, 11, and we took the trash out and burned it. And my dad had a long fiberglass pipe, thick fiberglass pipe. We always liked to play in that fire. You know, we'd get the old milk jugs on the end of a stick and let them melt. And then we'd let it drop, those droplets of plastic. And we'd pretend we was in the Air Force, dropping bombs. Come on. We'd take it over to the anthill, drop it on them. Come on. Some reason this particular day, my little brother seen that fiberglass pipe laying over against the fence where daddy had it laid. He went over and grabbed it and stuck one end of it in the fire. And I wasn't watching. I don't know what I was doing, but I sure heard it. He took gas in his hand, had some gas in a little can. He got out dad's gas can and poured it in the top of that fiberglass pipe. And it rolled down the fiberglass, and when it hit that fire, I happened to turn around, I seen a fireball, and I heard it rolling up that glass, that fiberglass pipe. I mean, hit him right in the face. God was with us. Water didn't blind him. And soon as it hit him, his hair started smoking. His eyebrows and eyelashes were gone. Come on, somebody. I'm telling you right now, God sent a ball of fire out of the realms of glory and made a great sound as it flew through the heavens and hit that altar with the sacrifice and water and wood and rocks and lapped it all up, even the dust. Somebody shout. He's God. He's God. Hallelujah. Elijah came down from that mount, and you know the rest of the story. Came down from that mount and then met Ahab. Said, I hear the sound of abundance of rain. Went up on the mount, prayed. His servant went, looked, and no rain. Seven times come back. He said, woo, said man of God, there's a cloud coming up out of the sea. Oh, about the size of a man's hand, leastwise looked like a man's hand, coming up out of the sea. He said, you go tell Ahab, he told him, you go eat, I'm gonna go pray. Come on, somebody. That sounds like a lot of our churches today, doesn't it? Y'all go eat, we're gonna go pray. Oh, y'all too quiet now. Oh, yes, hallelujah. Ahab went up to eat, but now Elijah said, he told Ahab, I hear the sound of abundance of rain. He went to pray. Now he said, his servant said, you tell old Ahab, he better get in his chariot and head out toward the gates of Jezreel because it's about to rain. It's going to be such a rain, he better hit the trail. Come on, somebody, or to hinder him. And he got in that chariot, headed toward the gates of Jezreel. And Elijah standing there, and the first droplets of rain smacked him on the face. You got to remember, it ain't rained in 3.5 years. It rains on the just and the unjust. God took care of Elijah down by the brook and sent him to a widow, but he had to go through that same time frame. Come on. And all of a sudden he's standing there praising God. Hallelujah. All of a sudden the first droplets of big old raindrops splashed him on the face, and he said, whoop! Hallelujah. Gird up his loins. That means he tucked a belt around him, pulled his clothes up, his robe up between his legs and tied it. Come on, somebody made him a pair of breeches. Shout hallelujah. And hit the trail running in the Holy Ghost. I've seen some of y'all doing that this week. He got to running in the Spirit and outran. I said, outran Ahab and his horses and beat him to the gates of Jezreel. Shout hallelujah. Woo! What a revival, what a power, what a truth camp. The power of God coming and touching and saving and filling people with the Holy Ghost. Come on, somebody, this week, delivering people from the powers of addictions, of sins, breaking chains and bringing down strongholds. Ooh, I believe I'll shout now. Somebody shout amen. Glory to God, glory to God. This is what the Lord told me. He said, go tell that truth camp crowd. Because after this, let me get to my point. After this, Elijah got word. Because see, you back up to when the fire fell. He got to feeling zealous. And he said, take all those old prophets and take them down to the creek. To the creek and kill every one of them. Woo! Shout hallelujah, somebody. You ever been in a
in a book of Acts, Pentecostal burning. Somebody shout amen. Twice in my ministry and pastoral ministry, we've had a burning. One revival went 6 weeks when I pastored just north of here in a little place called Picton, Texas, at Harmony Assembly of God. My evangelist was Jerry Wilkerson. We started on a Sunday, supposed to go a whole week. And that Sunday at lunch, I told my wife, Brother Jerry preached that first message on the arrow is beyond you. Woo! I told my wife on the way to lunch, I said, I'm taking one of my arrows to church tonight. She said, how come? I said, because I feel God just spoke to me and said, this revival is going to be something great. It's going to last more than a week. And sure enough, just like Grandma used to say, we started out, hallelujah, went a week. And the power of God, we had prayed, sought God, and said, let's go another week. I asked the church Friday night, I said, y'all want to go another week? They all jumped to their feet, went to clapping and shouting. But my point is, we started challenging people, and not just challenging, people started getting deliverance in that revival. Come on, somebody. We had folks showing up I'd never met. They said, we just come. One lady showed up, said, I just come tonight because I've been hearing about this revival. I wanted to come see what's happening. Hallelujah. Woo. It wasn't long. The evangelist and I sent out a barrel, trash barrel, said, if you got something in your life you need to get rid of, said, you bring it on to this revival. And one night, this revival, we're going to have a book of Acts Pentecostal burning. Come on, shout amen, somebody. We're going to... Woo, and I'm telling you, folks started bringing stuff I never seen the like. Matter of fact, we filled up two barrels. I'm telling you, there were books in there. Woo, come on, somebody. Books, there was tapes and records, and oh, it was before CDs was a big thing. Come on, cassette tapes and all kinds of music and paraphernalia, jewelry paraphernalia, clothing. Oh. Clothing items. Now, me and the evangelist didn't dig through the barrel, nothing but. When we got ready to burn it, we seen stuff laying on top. I seen a big old book from a secret organization in our community. And for some reason, it just slipped my mind. Amen. But what's the name of that? Eastern Star, another one. Somebody help. Masons. Somebody brought a big old Mason's book, throwed it in there, and I was looking down in there. There's a pair of short shorts. Oh, y'all too quiet. You better come on here, or we'll go through the whole barrel. Shout hallelujah. But we had a Holy Ghost burning. Hallelujah. Pulled those barrels outside, poured gas on them, throwed a match to them. Poof. And when we did, we got to singing songs like Victory in Jesus. Shout hallelujah. I'm telling you, folks went to shouting and dancing and praising God. Would you shout hallelujah? Oh, yes, oh, yes, oh, yeah. So it was a revival, I'm telling you. And we're having a move of God this week, a revival. But Elijah had such. The power of God used him. The rain came, fire came down, rain came down. Think about it. Oh, a move of God, hallelujah. Evangelist Elijah had seen it. Oh, he got so zealous. He had his own style of type of burning. He didn't burn them, but he X'd them out. Shout hallelujah. Had those prophets of Baal killed. Come on, somebody, in righteous judgment of God. Oh, yes, oh, yes. But then, oh, Ahab, you think it had changed his heart, but it didn't. He was still henpecked. Oh, I'm preaching about y'all shouting. He was still henpecked. And he got home crying. Oh, mama, I'm telling you right now, that old preacher
done murdered all of the prophets of Baal. Your prophets, my preachers, and your preachers murdered all of them down by the creek. Come on, somebody. And old Jesse stood up and said, I tell you, I'm sending him a letter. Come here, you messenger. Take this letter down. By this time tomorrow, the same thing's going to happen to you, old preacher man. And they carried the letter to Elijah. Elijah read the letter. Come on, somebody. He said, oh, my God, my God. And that spirit of fear gripped his heart. Come on, somebody. And he headed out to find him a place to lay down and die. How many's ever felt like that? Come on, somebody. Oh, but listen, the contrast is he come out of a great move of God. Now he's wanting to lay down. He found him a juniper tree, laid down up under that shade tree and said, oh, God, just go on and take my life. Let me die, God. I'm not any better than my father. Woo, come on, somebody. But oh, I'm thankful God didn't take his life. Would you shout amen? God didn't let him die. Oh, hallelujah. And then the next thing, he gets to eat from heaven, and then he winds up, here's where I'm going, he winds up on Horeb, the place where the Ten Commandments were given, the place where Moses, saw the backside of God. Somebody shout amen. He couldn't stand to look at his face, and so when God passed by, put his hand on old brother Moses, and when he got by him, he let Moses see the hinder part, the back of God. Would you shout amen, somebody, as he passed by? That's where Elijah wound up, on Horeb, but he wound up in a cave. From a mountaintop revival and a move of God to a cave. Come on, somebody. And in prayer, God told me to tell these young people. Tell these young people, he said, don't you allow Jezebel to drive you back into the cave. Oh, come on, somebody. Just let that soak in a little bit. He said, tell them, preacher, don't let old Jezebel drive them back into the cave. Somebody shout amen. Tell them I've done a work in their life. They've had a move of God, a move of my presence. But when they leave camp, don't allow the spirit of Jezebel to drive you back into the cave. Somebody shout hallelujah. Oh, great God, you can stand and testify right now. God delivered me from this week. God's helped me with this. God's helped me with that. God's filled me with the Holy Ghost. I got saved. I prayed back through to God. I was vaccinated. I come back. Woo, hallelujah. I've answered the call of God on my life this week. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody sitting here heard these boys are testifying. Said, I believe God's talking to me about going to one of them schools. Come on, somebody. Woo, God, you've heard from heaven. Come on. Oh, yes, but when you leave this ground, don't you allow old Jezebel to drive you back into a cave. Somebody, oh, I'm preaching better than you're shouting, because I'm going to tell you right now that spirit of fear will bring a message to you and say, you just thought you got something. You just thought you heard from heaven. You just thought you got back right with God, but I was there when you backslid. The devil said, spirit lying spirit said, I was there when you backslid. I know what you did. You know what you did. God don't love you. You just a bunch of pile, a bag of emotions. That's all you was at that camp. Somebody lift your hand and shout, the devil is a liar. Somebody shout hallelujah. But if you listen to his idle threats, he'll drive you back into the cave. Come on, somebody lift your hands and shout, I'm not going, I'm not going, I'm not going back into the cave. I'm not going back to the cave from which I came. Hallelujah. Oh, shout hallelujah, somebody. Because number one, this is just my introduction. I'm hurrying. Because in the cave, it's dark. Well, you missed that. I said in the cave, it's dark in there. Woo, come on. We went to bed last night and I shut the lights out. And I found a bed and sat down on the edge of it.
She said, "What's the matter?" I said, "I'm scared of the dark." She said, "Silly, go turn the bathroom light on then." I wasn't really scared of the dark. Come on, somebody. It's dark in that cave. Ooh, God called you out of darkness. Y'all too quiet up in here. He called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Hallelujah. I'm not a lover of darkness. I'm a lover of light. Would you shout hallelujah? Oh, blessed be God. But when you go into that darkness and you let that spirit of fear drive you into that darkness, in that darkness is where the devil is able to work. He does not work in the light. He hates the light. Somebody shout with me. Amen, somebody. He hates the light. He does his work in the dark. He likes to do his scheming in the dark. Come on. That's a reason. I hope you don't ever go, but that's a reason in nightclubs, in dives, nightclubs, and honky-tonks, and beer guzzling, whatever, saloons. When you go in there, you go like, "I know he come in here with me. Hey, Bob, you at the bar? I'm down here." Come on, somebody. Oh, Lord. They said, you know, they get so drunk, they don't even know who they go home with. Come on, somebody. They don't even know who they spend the night with. Well, I figured part of that out is because it was dark. Shout amen. And they just grabbed them. Shout amen, somebody. Woo! I tell you, that's where the devil does his dastardly deeds. It's in the dark. It's in the dark. It's dark in the nightclub. It's dark in the dives. It's dark in the honky-tonk, Billy Bob's honky-tonk. Shout amen, somebody. It's dark in the dance hall. It's dark. It's dark. I said it's dark in the electric cowboy. Shout amen. Drugstore. Cowboy. It's dark in there, and it's dark in some youth groups. Woo! It's dark up in some of them churches. Shout amen, somebody. You walk in there, don't even look like a church out there. Ain't no altars, no altar benches, no pulpit. The platform looks like something out of Las Vegas or New York City with lights around the air. I'm preaching better than you're shouting. Come on, somebody. I'm telling you right now, God didn't call us back into the dark. He called us into the light. Somebody shout hallelujah. No. Don't you go in that dark. That cave's dark in there. That's where the devil will work. That's where he'll drag you back into your addiction. That's where he'll drag you back into your bondage. That's where that spirit of fear will get back on you again. That's where that depression will jump on your mind and on your soul and spirit again. That's where oppression, his hands will grip your neck again. Come on, somebody. That's where you're going to get bit again. You tell the devil you're a liar. I refuse to go back into the cave. Somebody lift your hands and shout, "I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed." Hallelujah. God said, tell them, don't let Jezebel drive you into the cave. It's dark in there. It's dark in that cave. Number two, it's cold. You ever been up to Branson and some of them places up there? And you... Marble Cave, that you get on there, you follow them, whether you're riding something or follow them down, you get down in there, and the temperature drops. Get down in there, they all do it, as far as I know. You know, he said, feels good down here. Somebody said, amen. Oh, feels good. And all of a sudden, somebody shuts a light out. Let me know you. It's dark and it's cold. Don't you let no devil drive you back into that cave. Don't you let no wild boy, girl drag you back in that cave. Oh, hallelujah. Some of y'all need to go home and be like the prophet Elijah. Some of you boys need to go home. Amen. Maybe before you even get home. And don't even go see her. Just text her. On the way home, say, baby doll, it's over. It's over. I got back right with God. And I'm going to serve the Lord with all my heart. I can no longer date you or call you because you're not right with God. Come on, I'm going to pray for your soul, but I refuse to allow some old girl, some old false eyelash, batting Susie, Lucy Q, drag me back into the cave from which I came out. Somebody shout hallelujah. Some of you girls, sisters, need to call that boy before you get home and shout, it's over. It's over. I'm cutting ties. I'm like Elijah. It's over. I'm exiting you out. I'm going to pray for your soul, but it's over. Shout hallelujah. Why? Because it's cold in that cave. When you let that devil drive you in a cave, your experience, your relationship with Christ, the fire of the Holy Ghost burning in your soul right now will get cold by degrees. You'll get colder and colder and colder, and inside of a month, you'll be sitting in Sunday night service, chewing your gum and texting your neighbor and making sure the pastor and mom and daddy don't see you. You'll be cold in your soul and won't be, come on now, that preaching won't matter nothing to you. You're ready to get out and go with the youth group to Pizza Hut. Amen. You're watching your timepiece on your cell phone saying, I wish the pastor heard. I'm hungry. I'm ready to go to Pizza Hut. Somebody shout amen. Give the altar call. You sit back there. Don't go to the altar. If you do, it's just for show. And you get out. Come on, somebody. Oh, I'm preaching many a shouting. It's because you allowed Jezebel to drive you back into a cave. Come on, somebody shout amen. And you're getting colder and colder. That spirit of Jezebel is out there tonight. Don't you doubt. That spirit of Jezebel is rebellion. It's rebellion. It's hardness toward God. And everything that speaks about God and everything that is of God. Shout amen. Somebody, that spirit of Jezebel is out there tonight. And it's fighting. I know I'm not his judge. I pray our president's saved. I pray the fruit don't say he is, but I pray all those, some of those real Christians around him, get him involved in some of them prayer meetings I heard on CBN, Christian Broadcasting Network, and some of them are having prayer meetings up there in their offices. And one of them said, the president's welcome anytime. Shout hallelujah. Come on, somebody. You say, well, they're not conservative Pentecost like us, but at least they're starting to pray. And you get some men on their, oh my God, I feel like bucking a shout. You get some men on their knees. I'm going to tell you, God's going to show up. Hallelujah. But that same spirit of Jezebel in this nation is after our president. It's ever after Christian, after every Christian in Congress. It wants to drive them out. Somebody hear what I'm preaching. The devil wants to destroy this nation. But God said it ain't going to happen. Would you shout hallelujah? That spirit of Jezebel has come into a lot of our churches. Come on, somebody confronted our pastors, confronted the leaders, got in some of the leaders. I'm preaching better yourself. Got a hold of some of the leaders who wasn't going to prayer meeting like they're supposed to. Got a hold of some of the young people who weren't full of the Holy Ghost like they need to be. Shout amen, somebody. That spirit of Jezebel wants to drive you into that cold cave. Whew. Thirdly, and I'm hurting. In that cave, it's musky, it's wet, and it's moldy. Come on, somebody shout, it's moldy. Kind of crinkle your nose, say it's moldy in that cave.
You stay in there long enough in that dark, in that cold cave, that mold and musky smell is going to get on you. Somebody shout amen. Oh, hallelujah. I said that mold's going to get on you. Come on, somebody. You may fool mama. You may fool dad and the pastor and your guardians or whomever. You may fool your Sunday school teacher. You may fool your youth pastor and his wife. But let me tell you something. You won't fool God. Don't you go up in there. You're in the cave and you know it. Fear's gripped your heart. You've surrendered to it. It's cold in there and you're getting colder. But now you're lifting up hands like this. Amen. Yes. Yes. Yes, Lord. Yes. I'll put your hand down. Amen. Why, Brother Tom? Because you're in that cave again and you're so cold. Amen. You're lifting up molded hands. Shout amen, somebody. You're lifting up molded palms. Shout hallelujah. I said molded palms. Old dead palms, molded palms, cold palms. And God ain't going to receive it. Would you shout hallelujah? Because you found yourself back in a cave. Lift your hand and say, I'm not going back in a cave. Come on. That spirit of Jezebel drive you back into that. Hallelujah. But now here's my subject title. That was the introduction. I seen my pastor back there going, I knowed I should have put that rope on his ankle. I'll hurry. Listen, this is my subject title. Oh, hallelujah. Because I want you to remember. This morning, I got up. And I'm starting to learn to do it. But my wife and my son and my daughter back home, a lot of times, Daddy, what? I'm on my way to work. You know, we got a custodial bit. I'm in a hurry. Daddy, what? Did you take your thrive? Y'all got quiet up in here. What, y'all thought I'm fixing to preach on against thrive or something? Say, don't get off the bus. We ain't there yet. It's quiet in here. What in the world? They said, Daddy, you take your thrive? And I, I said, get my pills. You know, I'm not against it, so don't get me wrong. But I put it in my hand. First time I started taking that, I opened that little packet. I said, Lord, that smells like hay. We used to haul when I was 15. It's got that smell. And I ain't against it. I like that smell. I just didn't like the work. Come on. And I'd put them pills in my hand, take them pills. And I said, you put your patch on? Oh, it ain't patch. They call it something else. DFTs or whatever it's called. Woo! I slap her on me. Come on, somebody shout amen. I'm telling you, thrive is taking this nation by storm. Hallelujah. I won't even ask to see how many people got a DFT on this morning. Hallelujah. But they always ask me, have you took your thrive? But I've titled this subject this morning, you were made to thrive. I said made to thrive. I'm not talking about the thrive that a lot of folks are taking, and it's good and all right if you want to do it. But listen, I'm talking about thriving in God, thriving in Him. You were made to thrive, not to survive. If you just survive, and you're going to wind up back in that cave. Come on, somebody. You were made to thrive, progress, move forward. Hallelujah. Grow spiritually. Give God a hand clap of praise. Woo! Turn to your neighbor and slap him on the leg, on the shoulder, and say, hey, we've been made to thrive. We've been made to thrive. Give somebody a high five. Say, you've been made to thrive, girl. Hallelujah. Been made to thrive. Hallelujah. And I got to hurry through this, so you stay with me. God, you made to thrive. God gives us a prescription to thrive.
in this short verses I read to you that he did for Elijah, man of like passion. Number one, a prescription to thrive. We were made to thrive. God's prescription to thrive. When Elijah got down discouraged and Jezebel was breathing down his neck and he laid down upon the juniper tree, and I heard some of y'all talking about it last night, wanted to take his life. That old suicidal spirit got a hold of him, and I've been there before. Come on, somebody, I know what I'm preaching. Hold on, hold on. Let me give a side note. God spoke to me. You see, I come out of depression 10, 12 years ago, deep depression. I've told the story before. But since that time, there was at least one other time where the enemy tried to take me back into that cave again. Come on, somebody. I called my baby brother, pastors in the Boot Hill of Missouri. And I told him what I was feeling and going through. And I said, I need you to pray. He said, listen to me, brother. He said, the devil. He said, remember this. When other things don't work against you and he can't pull you away with other tricks and schemes and scams and scandals, said he will always bring you back to the thing that worked before. He said, I almost got that ending. So he was trying to do that again. Come on, somebody. Whatever's worked against you before, the devil will take you back to it. Are you hearing me, somebody? It's a scheme. It's a principle of the adversary's battle tactics. But lift your heads one more time and shout, I'm not going back into the cave. Say, I was made to thrive. Made to thrive. And so, anyhow, that old suicidal spirit, he said, Lord, let me die. I don't want Jezebel to get a hold of me. Ooh, Lord. Come on. Just let me die right here. And he went to sleep. He's gone. All of a sudden, somebody tapped him on the shoulder. Get up, Elijah. Get up, man of God. And he got up and looked, and right there by his head was bread and water, a cruse of water. It was an angel said to him, get up, man of God, eat that bread and drink that water. Come on. Whew. He ate it, and just like a preacher, he laid back down and went to sleep. According to some, and there are some, but I ain't got time to preach that. But he ate that bread and water, said, the angel said, because you're going to need to thrive. Come on. We're talking about the Lord's thrive now. Said, because you need to thrive. Come on. The journey is too great for you, man of God. You need heaven's prescription for thriving. Hallelujah, somebody. And he ate the bread, drank the water. You say, what is the bread? The bread is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's a bread sent down from heaven. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, the bread is Jesus Christ. You can eat of him, partake of him daily at that altar that you establish at home, whether it's in your bedroom or out in the woods at a stump like I used to have when I was 15. My God in heaven, establish an altar, get a hold of prayer, and eat of Jesus. Shout hallelujah. Old Dustin done drunk all the water. Come on, that water. Hallelujah. Shout amen, somebody. You need to drink water. That's what they tell me. I've been thinking that earth natural thrive. You got to drink water, 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 water. Old Brother Blake said, we got an app. You can get an app on your phone. Tell you how much water you're supposed to drink according to your weight. I said, oh, God. I was telling somebody here at the campus, and they said, Brother Tom, you'll probably have to drink 2 or 3 gallons of water. Shout hallelujah. I got on my water app, typed it all in, and said, you need to drink 121 ounces a day. I said, oh, come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Water, 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 water.
Everybody shout, water, 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 water. Look at your sister. Say, sister, you need water, 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 water. You need more water. Come on, boy. Look at your brother. Say, you need more water. You need more water. Water, 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 water. Because you was made to thrive. And you're going to thrive on the bread of heaven. You're going to thrive on the water. Oh, hallelujah. Hey, God has made glad the city of God with the river of God. We just shout hallelujah. It flows from the throne of God. It's the power represented in the power of the Holy Ghost. Shout hallelujah. You need an altar where you can eat the bread and drink the water of the Holy Ghost. Shout hallelujah. And thrive, thrive in the spirit, thrive on the bread of life. How about shout of a height? Come on, somebody. Whew. Lift your hand saying, going back to that cave. Come on, y'all too quiet. Say it, I mean, going back to that cave. God's prescription of thrive. Number two, he got back in that cave, settle down. Come on, settle down in the cave. He wouldn't say amen to the pastor. He wouldn't clap his hands no more. He wouldn't go to the altar. Preaching Ben, you're shouting. They quit showing up at youth prayer meeting. They quit showing up at youth witnessing outings, sitting down in that cave. Come on, somebody. And all of a sudden, God asked him a question. He asked him twice, matter of fact. And I can tell you right now, the Holy Ghost ain't going to leave you alone. He's going to ask you, Elijah, yeah, Lord, what are you doing here? I've lived for God for 30 plus years. I can tell you there's been a lot of times God has said to me, man of God, boy, son, what are you doing here? Ooh, he's asking some of y'all today and been asking y'all a week. You hadn't responded yet. Like our brother said a while ago, he said, what in the world are you doing in this cave? Somebody shout hallelujah. Elijah, what are you doing here? He tells him. Tells him twice, seemed like he, see, that's what his mind is on. His mind's on that so much he had to rehearse. Oh, Lord, they've stole down your altar. They've slain your prophet. I've been jealous for you. He's trying to be real spiritual. Come on. That's what you do when you're in the cave and you get cold in your soul. I've seen it. I've had them come into my pastoral office. They cold. Come on, somebody. But they're going to act spiritual. I've been jealous for the Lord. Yeah, I bet you have. Shout amen, somebody. Woo! In that cave, he said, told him again what it was, why he's there. And the Lord said, get yourself out there. Come on, somebody. Or rather, let me back up. He's there in that cave. It's dark and cold. Oh, hallelujah. And then the Lord says, you get up and move forward. Come out. And he's making progress. He's over in the backside of the cave. Spiders run around. And the Lord said, get yourself up. Man of God, come to the entrance. Come to the end of the cave. I got something on. Woo! He got up and he started making progress and he got to the entrance of the cave. Covered his face because he done knowed he's about to see the glory. Woo! Here come the wind. The earthquake, the fire. Said, but God, see, it said God wasn't in it. What that meant was that was God doing. It was his presence. But the answer of God for him and his situation wasn't in it. And he said, oh, Lord, what's going on? What am I supposed to do? All of a sudden, it says, but after the fire, still small voice. The commentators say a sound. Spoke to him. I'm not through with you. Somebody shout amen. Of essence. So the third thing to thrive is that you'll hear a still small voice.
You'll hear the voice of God. He'll speak to you many times more than not in a way that you never imagined. God's voice will come to you. Somebody shout amen. A still small voice. Would you shout amen, somebody? Because God don't hate you just because you wound up in a cave. And I pray you don't, because I'm trying to keep you out of it. But because you went back to a cave. Come on, somebody. But you're in a cave. God don't hate you because of it. He still loves you. Shout amen, somebody. Oh, hallelujah. He's trying to get you out of there. He knows you're kind of jumpy, kind of nervous, looking for Jesse over at both your shoulders. Come on, somebody. Kind of jumpy. And so the Lord just said, come on, somebody. Peace and calm. Somebody shout hallelujah. Like a mama calms her afraid child. Somebody shout at night. God calmed the soul of that prophet. Somebody shout amen. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And he's standing at the entrance of the cave. And God, the fourth thing to thrive is God's prescription to thrive is believe God's assignment. God's got an assignment for you. Shout amen, somebody. So number three, God, believe God's assignment and boldly go. Shout hallelujah. God told Elijah, I'm not through with you. You go anoint Hazael king over Syria. Shout hallelujah, somebody. And anoint Jehu and anoint Elisha, the son of Shaphat, because I'm not through with you. I'm not through with Israel. Hallelujah. I need a prophet who will boldly go unashamed and refuse to be locked in a cave. Somebody shout hallelujah. Come on, young people. Believe the assignment that God has for you and boldly go. Hallelujah. He said, I'm the only one. God, before he finished, he said, no, boldly go. Said, no, because you're not alone. I have 3,000 others who have not bowed, nor have they kissed the idol of Baal. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. In Psalms chapter 2, it talks about kiss the son, the king's son. The son of God is what it's talking about. That kiss means it is a devotion. It is a commitment. Somebody shout hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Every time you come to an altar in this truth camp or at home, every time you come to the altar and you bow down with your worship and your praise, you're kissing the Lord Jesus. Would you shout hallelujah? And you're saying, I'm committed, Lord. I hear your call. I will boldly go. I realize I'm not alone. There are 3,000 others that have not bowed their knee to Baal nor kissed his idol. Would somebody shout hallelujah? Come on. I refuse to be a cave dwelling idol kissing. Oh, shout hallelujah. I'm coming out. I'm staying out of the cave. Lift your hand and shout hallelujah, somebody. I want my wife, somebody to come to the piano. Hallelujah. An assignment. Hallelujah. That's what you have when you leave here. An assignment. Say, what, preach in the pulpit? Maybe whatever God tells you in that, but realize you have an assignment to go from here to pray and witness. Somebody shout amen. Huh? Pray and share your testimony. Glory be to God. Those are the basics God taught me when I was 15 years old.
I woke up the first morning after I'd been saved with the Holy Ghost. My knees hit the floor beside my bed in that little Indian home, Southeast Oklahoma. And God established it all, helped me establish an altar. Woo. And then I went back my sophomore year to high school, and God challenged me to be a witness, to tell my testimony. This is how God done it. In the first day, in the last hour in my American history class, our teacher said, how many went somewhere this summer? We're going to let you tell where you went and what you done. And I was thinking to myself, I didn't go nowhere. I didn't do nothing. And the Holy Ghost jumped up inside of me and said, oh, yes, you did. You got saved and filled the Holy Ghost. And I called you to preach. Because they knew this ending. I said, they knew how the old Indian used to live among them, cuss like them. Come on, somebody. I dipped happy days one day with them. Got so sick at my stomach, I said, my God, I ain't dipping that stuff no more. Come on, somebody. I cuss with them. I run with them. I dip one time with them. Come on, somebody. Woo. Oh, yes, I run around, amen, looking for girls all the time. Come on, somebody. In English class, after I established my testimony, there's a girl sitting in front of me. She turned around. She said, do that number. I like the old Mac better. I said, I don't. I like this new Mac. Somebody shout hallelujah. I said, devil trying to drag me back in the cave. I ain't going back in there. Somebody shout hallelujah. But in that history class on the first day of school, it come to me, my hands were sweaty. I slipped out of that desk chair. I stood up. I said, Mr. Tops, I didn't go nowhere and do nothing. But I said, I went to church. We had a revival. I got saved. The Lord filled me with the Holy Ghost. And he called me to preach the word. And when I did that, it got so quiet you could have heard a pin drop. Oh, hallelujah. My teacher did like this to me. Oh, that's good, Mike. That's good. Come on, somebody. But after that, God established a testimony. You've got an assignment. You've got an assignment. Get saved. Get filled the Holy Ghost. Establish an altar prayer. Refuse to go back to the cave. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Eat the bread. Drink the water. Glory be to God. Accept your assignment and do the work of God. Somebody shout hallelujah. Stand with me all over this house. Hallelujah. Lift your hands toward glory. Still small voice. Glory be to God. I said a still small voice. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. If it's your heart's desire, amen, today, right now, oh, glory to God, to come and kiss the Son of God, to tell him, I'm not going back to the cave. If that's your desire, get out of your pew chairs and come right now. Come on, come on. Stand around this altar, kneel, whatever. But before we go, come talk to God. Come let the Holy Ghost help you. Amen. Tell that devil he's a liar. Some of y'all, he's already been talking to you. Oh, you can't make it. He talked to you after church last night. Talked to you yesterday. Come on, you can't make it. Oh, Lord. You're going to go right back. That's what he told me. When I got saved, filled the Holy Ghost at 15. He said, when school starts back, you'll be right back with the crowd. That's why the Lord established and all helped me establish and all the prayer. That's why the Lord had me to establish my testimony on the first day of school. I'm not going back to the cave. Come on, sisters. Come on, brothers. Hallelujah. Make a commitment. Make a commitment at this altar. Worship the Lord. Praise the Lord. Kiss the Son. Kiss the Son. Kiss the Son. Be committed to Him. Hallelujah. I'm sold out. I'm sold out. I'm selling out. I'm selling out. If there's paraphernalia, if there's cave, if there's cave dwelling paraphernalia, back at home, like rock and roll CDs, like posters hanging on your wall, or Judah. Amen. I'm telling you right now, anything else that can dwell in paraphernalia, you may even have it with you. Bring it sometime today and put it on the altar. Shout hallelujah. Suicide in the name of Jesus. I rebuke and resist that spirit of depression and fear. Hallelujah. Sell out. You've got to die out to the world. You've got to get rid of the world's paraphernalia. Come on. You say, well, I'll leave that particular item in my closet. Because my hand bought it for me. No. Sing out of this. You say, well, I'm going to keep that CD. I'm going to keep that CD because it's just country and western. And besides, she sang to Amazing Grace on the end of the CD. The devil's a liar. You get that country and western. I'm gonna clean the new one on the cross. I'm gonna clean the Calvary.
Jesus. I'm going to come upon the blood of Christ and the crucified Lamb. I'm going to be full of the Holy Ghost. We're sending an army. We're sending an army out of this camp. We're sending an army out of this camp. Hallelujah! Hallelujah!
Before your presence came and changed me, all my sin.
Worship Him! Worship Him! Come on, church! Somebody worship Him. Give Him praise.
They've been forgiven.
Kiss the Son of God with devotion and commitment. Hallelujah. Jesus, You're all I need. Jesus, You're all I'll ever need.
He's all I need.
You're anointed to be used of the anointing. Come on, the anointing oil of the Holy Ghost. You've got to pour it out on somebody. You've got to use it. You've got to express it. Come on to that lesbian girl at your school, to that homosexual boy. You've got to express that anointing and let them know they don't have to live that way. You got to let that girl from a broken home know she don't have to live that way. That there's an anointing that can heal her soul. Let that boy know who's living a promiscuous life. Come on, scraping that beer on the weekend, driving his pickup truck. You got to let him know you're on your way to hell, but the anointing of Christ will save your souls. You got to pour that anointing out. You've got to pour that. Boy, you gotta pour that anointing out on somebody.
Hand
out, lay your hand on somebody on either side of them. Go to praying for them. Go praying for two people around you right now. Say, Lord, I release the anointing. Lord, I release the anointing. I release the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I release that anointing. I release that bold anointing. Come on, boys. Come on, brothers. Lay your hand on somebody. Tell that brother the Lord, I release the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I release the anointing of the Holy Spirit that I have received. Hallelujah! Hallelujah!
Come on, young people, sing it. Go back to the way it used to be.
used to be before your presence came and changed me.
Come on, Brother Dustin.
Lord, I want to say
this Lord knows what he's singing about.
I can't go back to the way it used to be.
Come on.
Before your presence came and changed me.
Hallelujah.
Lord, I want to say go back.
Sing
I can't
it.
Go back.
Hallelujah.
To the way it used to be. Before your presence came and changed me. Oh Lord, I want to say I won't go back. I can't go back to the way it used to be. Before your presence came and changed me. Oh Lord, I won't go back. I can't go back to the way it used to be.
Hallelujah.
Your presence came and changed me.
I've been changed.
Free.